secrets that helped him grow his business so large in a very short period of time. One of the most requested trainers in all of Legal Shield. Give it up for Mr. Larry Smith.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Thank you. First of all, I just want to say how much I appreciate the fact of you all allowing me to do this. I know that this is normally a time for recognition, and I love watching recognition at every event. Unfortunately, I've got another travel schedule I have to get accommodated, and I've got to leave here at 10 after 3. My flight leaves at 10 after 3, so I appreciate Dave and his leadership, and you all allow me to kind of jump in front of the recognition. I'd love to stay and watch it afterwards, but I hope you all understand. So thanks for allowing me this opportunity. I want to just kind of read some things to you first, because here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand, you know, there's a lot of things going on in our economy today, in our society, in our country, and a lot of people are so busy working, they don't see what's going on. You know, they're not paying close attention. And I just want to kind of give you some examples. I'm just going to read a couple of things to you. This was from 9/11, so it was about 8 or 9 months ago. And it says, as traditional jobs fade, be ready to market yourself. The evolving job market will require workers to be flexible, competitive, and many-preneurs who can identify where they're needed. It says, given the attention it's getting in Washington, D.C., millions of Americans are no doubt wondering when our economy's job creation machine will crank up again. Brace yourself. It isn't likely to happen, not in the way it worked before. Look at this article. The freelance surge is the industrial revolution of our time. Everywhere we look, we can see the U.S. workforce undergoing a massive change. This transition is nothing less than a revolution. We haven't seen a shift in the workforce this significant in almost 100 years when we transitioned from an agricultural to an industrial economy. Now, employees are leaving the traditional workplace and opting to piece together a professional life on their own. What this is saying is people are realizing that more and more corporations are downsizing. More and more corporations are trying to get more work out of a smaller amount of people. And as they do that, more and more people are having to pick up two or three part-time jobs instead of one full-time job because employers are trying to reduce the cost of benefits. Listen, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. It's the law of economics that our country is living in today. And it affects every one of us, and we have to be aware of what's taking place so you understand why more and more people are out looking to create their own revenue stream. Look at this, December 8th. By 2020, 8 years from now, independent workers will be the majority. This new era is forcing employees, employers, and the government to confront a new reality as solo workers become the norm. Employees need to get used to scrapping for new jobs and dealing without health care and other safety net provisions. Let me give you an example of what's taking place. I saw in Phoenix on the news the other night. It was talking about in the Arizona market that there were jobs out there. And there was several jobs out there, but there was a massive number of people that were trying to get these jobs. And the actual article was about the younger generation, because a lot of them are getting tattoos, and that's not good, bad, right, wrong, or different. It just is what it is. But a lot of the younger generation are getting tattoos, and some of them are visible. And the news story was about the number of young people who are now going to get the tattoos removed because it takes them out of the competition for the job because of a visible tattoo. Okay, so what's happening with the thing, that's what they were talking about, the news story. What I heard was employers are excited because they've got so many people to choose from for the jobs they have available that they can pay less because there's so many people looking. That's the story I heard, okay, because I'll pay attention to these type of things. Look at this. February 17th, the end of the full-time salary job. In 2011, Kelly Services found that the number of free agents had grown to 44 million as Americans desired, listen, more freedom, flexibility, and ways to get paid for their professional skills. See, nobody in here is afraid of hard work, but we're tired of getting paid less than what we're really worth. And we're now more and more people are saying, I'm not doing this for somebody. I'll go find some way for me to take my talent and do it for myself to where I can create the freedom I want. Recently, a study by MBO Partners projected there could be 70 million free agents by 2020, creating a workforce environment with more free agents than full-time employees. Folks, this is all taking place as we go back and forth to work. Look at this.
headlines. 60% of over 60 workers postponing retirement. More workers living paycheck to paycheck. It's Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Over 70% of workers age 60 plus, mute it, Mark. Over 70% of workers age 60 plus can't afford to retire. Vacation plans, not this year, at least 35% of workers. Is traditional retirement disappearing? How older workers are redefining their careers. 1 in 4 workers plan to work while on vacation. That's not a vacation if you're planning to work while you're on vacation, right? Stability and culture top the workers' most wanted list, and all that's going away, folks. Household debt, listen, for the first time, rises for the first time since a recession. See, what's happened is a lot of people think that what's taking place is the economy's coming back around. So more and more people are taking on credit card debt, other debts, and all of a sudden, things aren't changing. Things are getting very unique what's happening, but you've got to be paying attention to what's taking place so that, listen, we need to protect ourselves from what's taking place so we're not subjected to what's taking place. So we're either subjected to it or we're protected from it, and it's what we do that makes that decision. If we do nothing, we're subjected to it. Things like this. Yahoo to take second quarter severance charge as about 2,000 jobs targeted for elimination. That's in April. May, Hewlett Packard reports lower profit, plans to cut 27,000 jobs, and their shares rise. That tells you two different stories. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. You understand? It tells both those stories. See, here's what you need to understand. People say, who do I talk to? Mute him out, Mark, would you? Got him? Okay. So here's my point. There's low-hanging fruit all over the marketplace. And what I mean by that is there's people out there by the millions that are looking to do something. So when I hear somebody say, well, who do you talk to? Hear this the right way. If they're breathing, I'm talking to them. Now, I'm not assaulting people. I don't assault people about Legal Shield. But I'm talking to everybody because there's so many people. I was on a flight from Indianapolis on Monday, and as I was flying into the terminal, the whole time on the trip, they'd asked me to do a training on Monday night after the briefing, kind of a mini training. So I was updating some stuff that I wanted to do in a little short training. And as I was doing that towards the end of the flight, the gentleman in the middle, when I shut down the computer because we were getting ready to land, the gentleman to the left of me said, so are you a financial planner? Because I talk about wealth in this, as you'll see in a few minutes. He said, are you a financial planner? And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, what do you do? I said, I represent one of the most exciting growth companies in America called Legal Shield. And he said, I saw that on the thing. He said, what's Legal Shield? And I said, well, Legal Shield gives our members the ability to talk to an attorney on any matter without worrying about the high hourly cost. He said, well, how do they do that? I said, well, for one flat monthly fee, our members get legal advice on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. That's why our members live their lives with a lot less stress. I said, you ever had stress in your life? And he says, yeah. And he says, right now I've got stress. And I said, tell me your story. He said, I'm a retired school teacher. And he said, my wife's retired. And he said, but because of the economy, we're having to downsize. And we don't really want to downsize, but nobody will hire us in a job. And I said, so are you trying to say that you're looking for a way to generate some extra revenue? And he said, if it makes sense. And I said, well, if we could show you a way where you could do that from the privacy of your home without any quotas or any hours that you have to commit to, where you could work it within the schedule that you already have, would you be open to looking at some information? And he said, absolutely. So now he's in play. You follow me? I don't assault people and say, hey, you want to make some money? All I do is talk to people and listen to what they say, and I wrap what we do around what they say. So all I'm saying is there are millions of people looking for ways today to protect themselves from what's taking place already that so many people aren't even aware of. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes, okay? See, vision is an inspired idea or a goal toward which one aspires. Leaders are totally sold out. Listen, do you think anybody could get up here and try to convince me to stop doing what I'm doing? Leaders are sold out. There's nothing. It's not about the money. Leaders are totally sold out to what we're doing as a mission, and leaders have vision and dreams of what could be. See, somebody says, I want to be a platinum, but I don't know how to get there. Well, I didn't know how to get there either. But now, because of systems we have in place, we've got stages that people can go through to get to platinum. Instead of worrying about how the compensation plan works, let's talk about stages that we work through. These are called the five stages of growth. Stage one is when a brand new associate Fast Start qualifies. Okay, not everybody Fast Start qualifies. I've had people come to me and say, well, I didn't Fast Start qualify, so I can't do it. No, listen. You can't fail at Fast Start. There is no failure at Legal Shield. You have an incentive to take advantage of a Fast Start program, but you don't fail if you don't do it. Everybody with me on this? Don't ever look at yourself as failing at anything. Everybody grows at a different pace. So stage one is Fast Start qualifying. And if you don't do it, it doesn't mean you can't get to stage two, because stage two is Performance Club qualifying. See, that's simple little things that we compound over time. Performance Club qualifying is stage two. So if you haven't Fast Start qualified, if you didn't Fast Start qualify, or if you did Fast Start qualify, don't worry about senior associate, manager, director, executive director. Say, next step, I need to become Performance Club qualified. I need to get my 5 points a month. And listen, here's a tip. Even if you're part-time, don't get five, get six. If you get six a month instead of five, you'll carry forward one. Now, what does that mean? That means in the second month, you get six, now you've got two carryover. Third month, you get six, you got three carryover. After 5 months, you're pre-qualified. So the points you get during the month are qualifying you for the upcoming month, not the month you're in. That's how you stay Performance Club qualified all the time. So stage two, become Performance Club qualified. Stage three is Power 20. So now that you've gone through Performance Club qualification, the next step is say, okay, let me work on Power 20 qualifying. So that's what we do next, is Power 20 qualify. Next step, ED. And then stage five is Platinum. Okay, so you say, well, how do you do that? How do you achieve this? This is the simplicity of the system, if you understand the power of systems. You work the whole stage program in reverse order. Now watch. In order to become stage five, you help four people do stage four. So you help four people become executive director, and you're now a platinum. That's how you get platinum. How do you get to executive director? You help three people become stage three, right? Four to five people become stage three, which is performance, which is Power 20. So now you've got the volume you need, right? In order to become stage three, you help one person become stage two, which is Performance Club qualifying, and then you help another person become Fast Start qualified. So all you do is work the system in reverse order. There we go. I'm going to say, where am I? Okay. So all you do is take what you want to do and work it in reverse order to allow yourself to get there. Does that make sense to everybody? So it's yes or no? Okay, so it's a pretty simple system if you just understand how it all works. If you don't understand, get with your executive. They understand. They'll help you get there. They have a fast incentive. See, in the process, communication is critical. I watch a lot of people write emails. Most emails aren't read with any sense of urgency. Did you know that the average text, 89% of texts are read within the first 4 minutes? 89%. I saw that in Google or some other day. 89% of texts are read in the first 4 minutes. But phone calls are instant. I love talking to people on the phone because you build relationships on the phone. So I love talking to people on the phone. I think it's the very best way to communicate, but you got to make sure that your communication is strong. So what are the Legal Shield fundamentals? What are the first three words of fundamentals? Fun. This needs to be fun. We need to have fun, right? What do we do? Number one, we market memberships. Number two, we recruit associates to market memberships. Realizing the only way we get paid is when somebody buys a membership. We don't get paid to recruit people. We leverage our income and our compensation level by recruiting other people because they write more memberships, which helps push people up the compensation plan. So instead of doing it on your own, where you're trading time for money, you're recruiting other associates and adding leverage so that it actually helps push people up. So it helps push you up. They're recruiting people underneath them. It pushes them up. That's what we do in our process, okay? Number three, you build for events. This is the most important thing that new people can do. Because if you're brand new, even with tools, You don't really have the posture. This is why we talk so important about three-way calls. Because you don't have the posture to really be able to talk to somebody when they start asking questions because you're not real sure because you're new. So you may not be able to do a presentation yourself, right? And you may not be able to recruit people all by yourself because you just don't have the posture yet. But the one thing you can do, everybody can do, is build for events. This is why this is such an important part of this whole fundamental process, because everybody can build for event. If you say, well, I don't know that I can do the presentation, I don't really know how to talk to people, you can invite people to an event. That's all. I mean, that's what everybody can do that. And just like in this morning's briefing, you invite people to the event, right? And somebody else does the presentation for you. And they help you recruit the people. So everybody can build for events. And that's why it's so important to invite guests to events. Your biggest goal is to get guests in front of the information. Number four, personal development. Listen, I am not the same person I was 17 years ago in a lot of different ways. But I thought I was okay 17 years ago, but I realized that I had so much growing I needed to do, and I still got growing I need to do, and I work on it all the time through personal development. And I just think it's really important that we're always trying to grow. And in that process of personal development, you need to be aware that some of the people that you're hanging around with right now may not be the same people you're going to be hanging around with a year from now or 2 years from now. Because I've had friends in the past that ridiculed me. They said, yeah, right, you're going to get in some legal deal and make a lot of money and stuff. And I said, man, it may not be for you. That's okay. It's for me. I'm going to do this. And as I started growing, they started ridiculing me. And as I started going to meetings, they go, here you are going to a meeting again. It's all you ever talk about is legal shield. Blah, 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 blah. You know? And here, and look where I'm at today. Look at the freedom my family has today. And I look at them being affected by the mortgage crisis, being affected by the job market. And I'm going like, are you kidding me? You think that this was worth what I did compared to where you're? I got freedom for the rest of my life. And you're still stuck worrying about mortgage rates and job stability and all that other stuff because I made a decision to change. And every person in this room can do that. But the people that you currently hang around with, remember, we become the average of the five people that we hang around with the most. So you can take a chart and say, who are the five people I hang around with the most? And if you look at them and look at their strengths, I mean, do a Ben Franklin. What are they great at? What are they not so good at? And realize that you're the average of those five. And sometimes you have to limit laws of association because they're just negative influence on you. And sometimes you have to eliminate laws of association and get around people that think the way you think. People, you know, I looked at Dave Savola and I said, I want that lifestyle. I don't want the lifestyle of my friends. My friends, you know, your friends are always the one telling you how to get rich while they're broke. You ever notice that? I wanted to get around people that had what I wanted and make sure that I knew how to get it because there's a difference between rich and wealth. Okay? And I didn't want to be rich. I want to create wealth because it's a different philosophy, right? And number five, teach others to do 1 through 5. So the fundamentals should be fun. You'll go, listen, how many of y'all just enjoy? How many of y'all love just being in the environment of the people that you were? How many were at the barbecue last night? Raise your hand at the barbecue. Did y'all have a great time or what? That is fun. Okay, that's getting around people that see what you see, that feel what you feel, instead of listening to the other people talking about how everything won't work. I don't want to be in that negative influence. Doesn't mean they're bad people. I just don't want to hang around those people anymore. They're okay where they're at. That's where they want to be. No problem. But I don't want to be there. So sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone in order to grow. Now, how many of you all in this room would like to make $45,000 a year in Legal Shield? Raise your hands. Okay, now I'm going to ask everybody to participate here. If you'd like to make $45,000, raise your hands. If you'd like to make $70,000, raise your hands. If you'd like to make $117,000 a year, raise your hands. I'm going to show you. I want you to ingrain this picture, okay? Because I'm going to show you. Listen, I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm extremely good with numbers. I'm a freak about numbers, okay? And George will tell you, I'm a freak about numbers. I'm going to show you what our compensation plan does because you can't challenge what I'm going to show you because it's numbers. And overrides and volume create income. And so I'm going to show you exactly what you can create by putting this diagram in place. If I told you all you had to do was find 4 committed people and a couple of new people and you could make $117,000 a year, you'd probably tell me I'm crazy. But I'm going to prove you wrong, okay? And I'm not doing it to prove you wrong. I'm going to prove it with numbers. Here's what most people don't understand. You can't talk to four people and expect them to be the four. You will go through a number of people to find these people, but if you knew that these numbers would get you there, would you do it? Now, how many of y'all, by show of hands, are directors? How many of you all believe at some point in your career you could become a director? Raise your hands. That should be everybody in the room, because you can all become directors. So, voila, you're now all directors. Give yourselves a round of applause. So on the $35.95 plan, every time somebody buys a membership from you, how much do you make as a director? $207. Now watch. You're going to go out and you're going to find six people. Two of them are brand new junior associates. And you've got one person that became an associate, one that became a senior associate, one that became a manager, and the one that became a director. Six people. Four that are existing and two brand new people. Now, obviously, the associate, the senior associate, the manager and the director, they're building teams. They have people underneath them that are working as well. So let's look at what they make when they market a membership. Under the $35.95 plan, that's what they make. And if somebody markets a plan underneath them, the overrides flow up to them. So you would get the difference between your commission rate and their commission rate. Now, everybody watch for just a minute so you get this. As a director, you get paid $207. If you've got a junior associate that gets $69, and they market a membership, you get the difference between their $69 and your $207, which is $138 in overrides. Is everybody following me? Is everybody following this? Okay, if you work that all the way across, that's where the overrides come from, until you get to director, and then I mess you up. Because, see, if you're a director at $207, and I'm a director on your team and I have the $207, where does the $8 come from? It's called the director breakaway bonus. There's so many ways our company pays commissions that you don't even aren't even aware of yet, because you just haven't gotten there yet. See, listen, when you get to a director, listen carefully, because people just don't get this. Let's say that I recruited Mark, okay? And I'm a director. Now watch this. I'm a director. Mark's a junior associate. How much of a ride do I get off Mark's business? $138. Mark becomes an associate, what does my override change to? $104. He becomes a senior, what does my override change to? $69. He becomes a manager, what do my overrides come to? He becomes a director, what do my overrides come to? How? He's at $207, I'm at $207, there's not $8 there. It's because of director breakaway bonuses, which I'm not going to go into because it's not important to understand it right now. When you start earning it, you'll figure it out. Okay? Now, but listen to what I'm saying. But Mark is way better than I am. I'm a director. He goes on to become an executive director, and then a bronze, and then a silver, and then a gold, and then a platinum, right? Now watch, I'm still a director. He's still a platinum. And most people are going like, oh man, I can't believe it, man. And they let their ego get in the way, and they try to make him upset because he's better than they are. I've watched this happen. Now listen, I'm a director. Once you get to director, you best. Mark's a platinum underneath me. And as an example of what could happen, he's doing 1,000 sales a month. I get $8 on his overrides. You think I care if he's a platinum? You getting this? You got to get to director. And you get to director through going through the stages. You don't need to worry, how do I get to director? Go through the stages we just talked about, right? But understand, once you hit director, you're at a whole different commission program. And most people don't even understand that. And it's okay that you don't. Trust me. I've done this. I know how it works. So here's what happens. When you recruit somebody and they come up to you and they say, and this happens to me all the time when I recruit people, they go, man, if that little guy can do it, I'm gonna blow by you and nothing flat. And I say, do me a favor. Hurry. I'll be the biggest supporter you've ever seen in your lifetime because of what happens with our compensation plan. You go find three people better than you, watch how good you get. Go find three people better than you and watch what this will do in our compensation plan. Look for people better than you. Don't look for people lower than you. Listen, on a scale of 1 to 10, we should always look at ourselves as a 5. And what most people do, listen, what most people do, I'm sorry if I keep saying listen, I'm not trying to be condescending, don't hear it that way, I'm just thinking out loud really. My mind goes fast. Somebody told me I went too fast. Who was it? Where is he? He must have left because I was going too fast. We look at ourselves, we should look at ourselves as average, a 5. On a scale of 1 to 10, we should all be looking at ourselves as a 5, right? What most people do is they try to recruit the people that are 1 through 4. people that look up to them. What we need them to work on is people that we look up to. See, when I recruited a guy worth $22 million and I was broke, I didn't go to him and tell him I want to show him how to make money. What I did was went to him and I catered to his ego. And I said, listen, you've had such massive success. I was wondering if you would help me out and look at this company, because everything I look at, it looks too good to be true. And I was always told that if it looked too good to be true, it was. And I said, would you do me a favor and look at this and tell me what it is I'm missing? So yeah, I looked for him for his business experience. And we had a little VHS tape, and it was 11 minutes long. And I put the little VHS tape in, and 11 minutes later, he said, so how do I join? And I was so concerned about what he was going to say, out of my mouth came, why would you want to? True story. I was going like, you idiot, what are you doing? You know, trying to kick myself in the rear because of what I'd said, because I wasn't listening, right? And he said, because I want you to work for me. I said, you obviously don't understand how this works. I said, if you decide you want to do this, you're actually going to be working for me. He said, that's why you're broke and I'm not. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, see, this is an incredible business and you need money and I don't. And he said, so you should take the time, which I'm not going to do, and you should gain the knowledge necessary, which I'm not going to go get. But he said, I'm paying my attorney. Listen to the story. This is in January of 1996. I'm paying my attorney $500 an hour. This is in Southern California where I was living when I started my business. I'm paying my attorney $500 an hour. And he says, and all my friends always call me because they can't afford attorneys, and they ask me the legal questions. And he said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get in your financial genealogy. I was brand new. I didn't know what a genealogy was. I had to go home and look it up, right? And so he said, I'm going to get in your financial genealogy. And he said, then every time somebody calls me and asks me for legal advice, I'm going to tell them to call you, and you're going to go present to them for me, and you're going to write my name on the membership app, and you're going to create another passive residual income stream for me. And then you're going to override everything that happens. And I looked at him, I said, that's what I said we're going to do. And he says that I know. He said, I know that you will ask other people if they have an interest in building a business like you are, and you will make that bigger for us. The very first person he sent me to was Krista Offenberg, who's a millionaire club member, who's a $250,000 ring earner, and that's the first person he sent me to. So what I realized from the very get-go is not looking for people that just look up to me. I talk to them too, but I'm constantly talking to people I look up to. Luke asked me last night, where's Luke? He asked me last night, you know, how do you get all these people? And if I said there's a method to it, and I don't think there is, because we all get our own people just by what we do, but if there's one thing I do probably that more people don't do, is I talk to people that I look up to, people that are experienced in business, people that are better than me, because they get it. It didn't take him 11 minutes to get this. How many people do you spend all this time talking to and trying to convince, and it's the people that look up to you? Maybe it's time to say, hey, let's start talking to people and say, would you mind giving me a hand and tell me what I'm missing? And let them see what's really here. They'll get it a lot quicker. Won't they, Lowell? Lowell's had some really sharp people at the last couple of events I've had. He had two insurance guys that both joined up, and one guy that wasn't Steve. Oh, yeah, Steve was a big business owner, and three guys he brought me, a real big business owner and two insurance agents, and recruited them just from, he brought two guys to lunch and one guy to my Thursday night briefing, and all three of them are in. People that he looks up to. You with me? Now watch what happens. When you fast start qualify a new associate, they write three memberships, right? So watch what happens. Let's add some volume to this. I've got senior associates in my team right now that are Power 20 qualified. So don't tell me these numbers aren't real. We can do these numbers. A director doing 25 sales a month, a manager doing 20 sales a month, a senior associate doing 15. And this isn't individual sales. This is their team volume, right? So you watch what happens. Now, all you have to do is be a good mathematician and take the override amount of money times the number of plans, and this is how you make $45,000 a year right here. Now, get that picture in place. How many people are we talking about here that you had to find that are willing to do something? Six. Four that are doing something and two that are brand new. And as they go out and build their teams, you understand with this diagram you can make $45,000 a year. And you can't deny what this is. because it's nothing more than structure times volume equals income. It's a compensation plan. That's exactly what we do. So this is how, as a director, I was making $4,000 to $6,000 a month as a director back in the 90s because of structure and volume. That's all we have to do. But we have to go through a lot of people to find it, which we'll talk more about in just a second. Now, as a director, you're not going to sit around and do nothing. So let's say you write a couple of plans every week. Well, now you just went to $70,000 a year in income. But if you add up the number of memberships, you also realize that you're executive director qualified. So now we're going to add some more income, and now you're going to be at $117,000 a year. Now, how many of y'all would like to make $117,000 a year? Get that picture in place. Let me tell you how you'll get this. There's only one way that we really get this and continue to build on it, and that's recruiting. The lifeblood, ladies and gentlemen, is a new blood. You can't constantly get more out of the same people. You got to get more people. People who have large organizations, they don't have a bunch of people doing a lot. They've got a few people doing a lot because they got a lot of people doing a little. And those people, you know, Luke asked me yesterday, he said, you've got this big organization of group producers. That's what everybody thinks. My group volume in my company is about 15% of my total volume. But everybody thinks that's like 90%. I don't know where that ever came from, but everywhere I go across the country, that's what everybody thinks. About 15% of my total volume is group volume. Everything else is a lot of people doing a little bit as they grow through the compensation plan. And that's how this money is paid out. Understand the importance of recruiting. It's not assaulting people, telling people they're going to get rich. It's letting people understand, number one, we market memberships. Number two, we recruit associates to market memberships to add leverage, which allows the income to take place. Everybody with me on this? Okay. Three rules. Number one, have fun. There's nothing more fun than fun. Smile to people. When you're talking to people, smile with people. There's nothing better than a smile. Everybody look to the person next to you and smile. Everybody's laughing. Now do me a favor. Look at the person next to you and frown. Which one looks better to you? Smile. Nothing more fun than fun, right? Rule number two, be effective. You're either not doing something right or you're not doing something enough if you're not getting what you want. The good news is that either one of them can be fixed. If you're not doing something enough, do more of it. If you're not doing something right, get with your upline, figure out what it is, and start doing it right. Okay, so be effective, right? Have fun, be effective. And this third is the most important thing I can tell you. Don't be weird. What is weird? Weird. Don't be weird. Just talk to people. Speak from your heart. Be everything God allowed you to be. And just be you. Don't try to convince people. Professional sort, amateurs convince. Have some fun, right? So, let's talk about timing. Timing is everything. You look at the three different divisions of the insurance industry. Listen, Aflac, I talked about it earlier, 1955 founded, 2005, 50 years in business. Nobody had ever heard of them. They found a duck. They went on TV, did $22 billion in revenue last year. Okay? Look at us. Look at where we've come to. Look at where we're going. And understand, we're the next trend that's getting ready to go through explosive growth. And now is the time to be involved in our business. So let's talk about timing and business being everything. Now, I want you all to have some fun with me. And some of you may not be able to do this. So I want you to have fun with me if you can. Let's go back for just a minute to when our company was founded in 1972. Let's say, everybody participate here. Let's say you're watching TV. You're in your favorite chair, all stretched out, watching TV. And you need to change the channel in 1972. What would you do? You get out of your chair and go over and turn the dial, right? What if the dial's broken? Pliers, right? Yeah, pliers. See, I didn't want to buy the new dial, so I got vice grips, right? So I didn't have to keep using the pliers, right? But what did we watch in 1972? We watched all the family shows, right? What were we thinking about? What we were watching in 1972 was family TV night, right? We watched family shows. Now, pretend for just a minute that let's fast forward. Now, listen, let's fast forward to 2012. You're sitting in your easy chair watching TV. Some of y'all need to get a new chair, by the way. Get rid of that 1972 chair, right? It's 2012. You're sitting in your easy chair. You're watching TV. And you need to change the channels in 2012. What do you do? Grab your remote, right? Now listen, if it's not working, you don't get up out of the chair. You take the back off, you roll the batteries around, you slap it, you do different angles. You don't even know where the dial is because there's not one. You don't know how to get out of the chair. But what are we watching in 2012? How did that happen? Listen, we remember 1972. How did that happen? Because, see, we were so busy going back and forth to work. We were so busy going back and forth to work, we weren't paying attention to what was happening right underneath our nose. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was a kid, if parents would have used, if radio stations would have had a cuss word, our parents would have burned down the TV station. Today, unless you're listening to Christian Broadcasting Network, you can't find a radio station without a cuss word. How did that happen? Think about 1972. Homeland Security with a latch on a screen door. Usually unlatched. I remember my mother at nighttime would, you know, pull the screen door to and latch it and open the front door so we could have the breeze and I felt secure. Now we got double deadbolts beaming down from outer space and all these satellite systems keeping us secure. Today, Homeland Security says I won't go to the airport this afternoon with a bottle of water in my bag. What happened? How did this happen? How did this change so drastically from here to here? Because time passed and we were so busy working, we didn't even realize what was happening all around us. 1972, if you said the words identity theft, what would people have said? Had no clue what you're talking about. Today, 22,000 people will have theirs stolen. See, the reality of it is our society has changed. We're not going back to 1972. Everybody with me here? Okay? Things aren't going back to the way they used to be. We are progressing Mach 2 with our hair on fire through a digital world that is changing. And if we don't realize what we're doing here at Legal Shield is positioning us for everything that's taking place right now, but we have to be aware of what's taking place. And that's why I showed all the articles about what's happening in the job markets. Because it's important that you understand there's so many people today that are open to looking at a good business opportunity as long as you're not weird about it. Be effective. Have fun. Smile with people. Be yourself. Be everything God made you to be, right? Let's talk about timing. Now, 80% of Europeans own a legal plan. We've got 2 to 3% market penetration. We've already created 145 millionaire club members in the process. And nobody even knows who we are yet, right? Now, here's what's interesting. If you look at what's taking place today, the news media is working for us. All you have to do is look at the news stories. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to the person next to you. Read the news. Watch the news tonight. And realize that the news media is working for us at no cost to us, telling the public that they need what we've got the only real solution to. And all we have to do is go out there for less than what we spend on a tank of gas and make this available to people. It's that simple because it's not about you or me. It's about the marketplace. Doesn't make any difference what you and I think. I just showed you what's already happened over the last 40 years. And we're moving, you know, 40 years ago, we moved at this pace. Now we're moving at this pace. And it's going to grow faster and faster, and that's where we're positioned to capitalize on what's taking place. But here's the challenge. We're used to working for income. See, we're used to trading our time for money. That's what we do in a job. And I'm going to give you an example, okay? You know, when I started with the Pillsbury Company in 1975, and everybody called me the Pillsbury Doughboy, today, 37 years later, they still call me the Doughboy, but it's a different kind of dough. Now, let's say you get a job, and let's say that they pay you a salary of $2,000 a month. In today's economy, you're going to work for a year before you're even up for a raise. I've got a magazine in my new mind. Here, I'm going to do it. Listen to this article. This is from The Week magazine as of June 8th, which would admit when? Yesterday. Listen, the bottom line, business news at a glance. The typical CEO of an American company made $9.6 million last year. How many of y'all can be a CEO and make $9.6 million a year? Can I do that with my high school GED? Probably not, right? A person making the national median salary of $39,312 would have to work 244 years to make that much. Ordinary workers received an average 1% pay raise in 2011, while top executives' salaries climbed 6%. Last month, our income went up 42%. Last month. How does that happen? Now watch. At pay raise time, you get your 1%. I call this the bump and run program because this is what we do with our lives. We go back and forth to work. And we work for a year and get a bump. Bump and run, right? So all we do is go out and do this, right? Now, when you look at this, the average median salary raise in 2011 was 1%. We do this and we go, what in the world is going on? While we go back and forth to work. That's what we do. We're so busy working that we're not seeing what's taking... Are y'all following me on this or am I all by myself? I mean, I hope that y'all are seeing what I'm saying because this is so real about what I'm talking about. And here's what happens. We decide we're smart because we're going to quit because we found a job that will pay us more money. And then we go out and do the same thing at a higher level. And you know what the definition of insanity is, right? How long does it take for us to understand this program isn't working? But it's okay because, see, then all of a sudden you decide, and when you hit your 40s and 50s, that you've got all this experience and now you're going to go get a job and make even more. And you find out that you're interviewing with 26-year-olds. And there is a communication problem. You think you've got all this experience and they see you as old. And you don't feel old, but that's how they see us. Anybody that happened to besides me? Now watch what happens. We can't find a job. And all of a sudden we go, hey, I'll use my 401k and take that 10% hit because I got some cash. I did that. I know all about it. Okay? Cash in my 401k, it was worth about 104k at the time. Had a little money, lived off that for a little bit. And then when I ran out of that, I said, you know what? You can get cash advances on credit cards. Done that too. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in this world where you have to have money so you take a job for less than what you're worth. And you say, it's okay because in 12 months, guess what happens? What happens in 12 months? Not anymore. Because they don't have to do it anymore. And that flat line takes on a whole new meaning. See, when you're young, you're going like, wow, man, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a car. I'm going to buy two cars, three homes, four, seven. Oh, man, I'm going to buy a continent. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, man, I got to sell it all. And it's not worth anything. And we wonder how we're going to retire. Very real, ladies and gentlemen. You stop working here, you lose your job, you lose your income. Do you start over? Does that make the most sense? Does your age impact your ability to earn when you're working for income? See, what we do here at Legal Shield is we work for assets. You develop people. You lift people up so they become revenue streaming assets to you. You lift people up. You don't hold them down like they do in the jobs. They hold the job down so the company can make more money. Here we lift people up so we have more money and more security. Now watch what happens here. Let's say you go out and you start a Legal Shield business. We realize that you don't know anything when you're brand new, so we're not going to pay you anything when you're brand new. Now think about this. In the job, if we'd have had any financial IQ when we were kids, when I was 25 and Pillsbury said, I'll give you a salary, a company card, an expense account, a bonus, what I should have said was, I'm 25 years old. I don't know anything, and you're willing to pay me? I should have been skeptical. But yet, when people start a business of their own, they don't have anything coming in, and they're skeptical. We should have been, if we'd had a financial IQ, I would have said, I got this. I got to build it. Over here, why are you willing to pay me when I don't know anything? Because they get it back the rest of our lives. That's why. But, so over here, you say, I'm going to start a business of my own. You don't know anything. You don't earn anything. But if you go back and forth to work, meaning you do the right things here, nobody has to dictate what length of time before you cross the line of where your income used to be. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a different time for every person in this room. Don't you dare compare yourself to somebody who's done this in 2 months, you know, or 6 months or a year. That may be your time. It may not be your time. But don't ever compare yourself to somebody else. But this is also the importance of your why. Because your why is what has to get you from here to the line where you cross where you're at. That's the only thing that will keep you in the game while you're getting there. Listen, you're going to go through good times and not so good times being self-employed. Just having a business of your own. The day Bill Gates got sued by the federal government as the richest man in the world, probably wasn't the best day in his life. But he didn't throw the towel in and quit because it was why. That's why it's important for us to understand why we're doing this is so critical. It can't be because you want more money. It's got to be a lot deeper than that. It's got, why do you want more money? I want a nicer home. Why do you want a nicer home? Because I want to protect my kids. Why do you want to protect your kids? So you got to get deep down into the reasons of why you want to do this. So that when you're having your challenging times, when it's not as good as you hoped it would be, you stay in the game because of why. Because see, it's not a question whether you can do this. The question is whether you will do this. That's your why. That's why it's so important to have it, okay? Here, if you stop working, you keep your income, you build a legacy, you can keep it or you can sell your business, you build a legacy that you leave for your loved ones, and does your age impact your ability to earn here? No, it doesn't. It doesn't have it. So both of these require work. Whether you're working for income or working for assets, both of them require work. Both require time. The only question is which one do you believe when you're ready to stop and no longer work? Which one of these systems will give you the best end result? That's the decision you have to make. And if you're not working, but people are paying their membership every month, and you're getting paid more and more every month as your business grows, and you're not working, is that better than trying to hope the government and your pension program will take care of you? That's the decisions we have to make, right? So, here's the issue with working for assets. You're either working for assets, or you are the asset. And unless you want to work your asset off, you better be working for assets, because we are making a decision every day. This is why you can start a business part-time and start building something. Don't worry about how much money you're making in the beginning. You're learning in the beginning. Just like when Pillsbury hired me, and I didn't know about the Pillsbury Company. I had to go through a learning curve. You got to do it here, too. Don't be frustrated. You don't walk in on the first day, first person you talk to, somebody says yes. That's not how it's designed. We got to learn. I applaud you for being here today, right? But here's what you need to understand. I've had rich friends. I had rich friends when the real estate market in the 2000s was exploding. I had a lot of rich friends. Today they're broke because they didn't understand how to protect themselves from that. See, rich is measured in dollars. Wealth is measured in time. How long can you go without working, without lowering your standard of living? This is why, ladies and gentlemen, wealthy people work for assets, because they want their money working for them so they don't have to work for it. Here's another news story that you want to hear about. Social Security funds, this was May 4th, just a month ago. Social Security funds to run out by 2033. I would be 81 when this happens. And look what it says. Social Security's primary trust fund, which helps finance benefits for 44 million seniors and survivors of deceased workers, is now projected to run dry three years sooner than previously forecast, said the program's trustees in an annual report. Driven by the tidal wave of baby boomer retirees, a feeble economy, and Washington's inability to address the coming shortfall, the fund will run out of money by 2003 if Congress doesn't intervene. Social Security's retirement and disability programs are adequately funded for years to come, said the Treasury Secretary, one of the six trustees, but, quote, we must take steps to keep these programs in whole for the future. Now, you tell me how we're going to add more money to Social Security. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? You sound like Washington. Nobody knows. What are you going to do? Make the young kids pay all the more taxes? You going to change their life? You going to have W-2 income where they tax you more and more? Or are you going to have 1099 income as a business owner where you can pay taxes after expenses? You get this? Y'all are really upset with me, aren't you? Does the truth sting? It does, doesn't it? But see, if you're not paying attention to what's taking place, you just go through life and you miss it. And one day you wake up and go, what happened? How do we go from Family TV Corp TV? How do we go from Homeland Security with latches to Homeland Security saying I can't go through the airport with a bottle of water? How did that happen? You look back and it just happened all of a sudden. Seems like an instant. But what was happening the whole time was we weren't just paying attention to the things that were taking place. So my goal today is to let you understand what's taking place. So I hope this gives you incentive to treat your business with a lot more respect than what you may have in the past because of what is taking place. Listen, Robert Kiyosaki says it best. in his cash flow quadrant. Everybody's probably read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If you haven't read his book, Cash Flow Quadrant, I would strongly recommend you read that book. Phenomenal book about creating wealth. And it talks about on the left side of the cash flow quadrant is the employee and the small business owner, the self-employed person. Those people are trading their time for money, right? And they very seldom ever create wealth. But the people on the right side, the business owner, which is defined as someone with 500 or more people working with them, which you can do right here at Legal Shield. You don't have to recruit 500 people. You can recruit a few people that grow to 500 people, right? But all of a sudden, you're a big business owner. Now you're debt-free, and now you turn around and start investing in other things that will spin off cash flow to you, whether you're working or not. It's the right side of the cash flow quadrant, but most people struggle to make ends meet as an employee or a small business owner. So by being on the right side as a business owner and investor, then you can have the freedom to be able to create the wealth that you're looking for. But this is a challenge because there's five types of associates that we're going to run into in this process of building our assets. Let me give you an example. How many of y'all have ever recruited somebody who didn't do anything? Raise your hands. Think you might be one more out there like him? When you recruit people who don't do anything, what do?
Nothing.
Nothing. How much do you think they're going to make?
Zero.
Now, you also are going to recruit spectators. What do spectators do in any sport? They watch. They'll see something different. They'll say, hey, I can make an extra $100 to $1,000 a month. And they'll say, I'll spend a little time doing this. But then you run across players. What do players do in every sport? They play, and they see a bigger vision. I can make an extra $1,000 to $5,000 a month. But then you run across game makers. What game makers do is they do the business. Ladies and gentlemen, may I please let you be aware that you all are the game makers. There's other things you could be doing in Salt Lake today on Saturday besides sitting in this room listening to some short guy from Arizona. But the reality of it is you're doing the business. You're plugging into the events where if there's one thing you get out of this today that will help your business grow, you're doing the business. You're a game maker, and that's what's important. And you understand, just from the things I just showed you, you can make $5,000 to $10,000 a month. But then there's market makers. Market makers recruit all types of people because they realize it's not about the person they recruit that makes their business grow. Market makers become millionaires. Here's what I want to ask you. Out of this list of people, who do you think will probably earn the most money? Look at the list. Who do you think will make the most money? Market makers. You're probably right. But listen, not necessarily. There's a big country out here. Here's what I want you to understand. Let's say you recruit a spectator in Florida. Let me tell you what most people do. They'll recruit that spectator, and they're spending all their time with that spectator, trying to get that spectator to become a market maker. Y'all with me on this? We recruit these new people, and we give all this time, pouring into them, trying to get them to become a market maker, instead of asking that spectator, who do you know? And then they lead us to another spectator up in New Jersey. And we say, who do you know? And they lead us to a game maker out in California. Who do you know? They lead us to another spectator up in Washington. Who do you know? They lead us to a player down in Texas. Who do you know? They lead us to a market maker in Arizona. And once that market maker shows up, the money flows backwards, which creates more market makers. See, you can be a spectator and end up as a market maker by default if you will quit focusing just on the person you recruited. You've got to build that list. You've got to get the information into the hands of the people that they know, not just when people say, well, I don't know that many people. Good, let's get in front of people you do know. Because we know that we got to get the information into the hands of the people we do know so they can get it into the hands of the people we don't know. And that's how you build market makers, which will change your family's financial future. The only thing is, you have to realize, we never know what someone else will do. All we can control is what we do. And that's why this is so critical. Let me show you something here. This is my commission statement from last week. June 1st, right? See where it says total for the week? $8,045.76. Look at the earned income. This is your residual income. $6,383.21. I want to show you what this means to you. This is our earned income. What you need to understand, remember I said if you don't know what's going on underneath your nose, you're missing it, right? If you're not looking at that commission statement every week, you don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. It's not just the amount of money being deposited into your account this week. That's how much you made this week from the advance commissions, right? But the earned income on that commission statement, which every one of you have on your back office under associate commission statements, if you go into to LegalShield.com, go to your click on reports on the left-hand side, and right there where it says My Statistics under the first black bar, underneath that same area it says associate commission statements. You click on the associate commission statements, and these will come up. Now, here's what happens. If you'll track that earned income, there's three columns. The third column says earned up at the top. If you'll get an Excel spreadsheet, that's all I do, and I track every week how much that earned income is. This was December for $35,000 in earned income, $412,000 for the year. And I don't talk about money a lot when I'm talking to other people unless they ask me. And then I'm just very honest with them. And I've had people even tell me, you know, I made $400,000 a year before. And I look at them and say, passively? What does that mean? Watch what it means. This is passive income. That means whether you get out of bed or not, this income's coming in. This income I just showed you was if I didn't work at all that year, and nobody on my team wrote one single membership that year. This is from the people that are still paying. Remember what I said? After that advance commission, for the last 16 years, Michael Dorsey's gotten paid every month, month after month, because as long as I'm paying, he's getting paid. The numbers I just showed you from people who are paying if no new business was written that year. Now, what is that's passive income. What does it mean? Let me show you, okay? Currently, and I looked this up when I was going to Indianapolis on the 1st, if you look at the five-year jumbo CD rate, that means if you got $100,000 to invest in a jumbo CD, which is not the way I invest it, but it's a question that nobody can compare. They say the CD interest rate on a five-year jumbo CD as of 8 days ago was 1.77%. So if you had a jumbo CD, they're going to pay you a whopping 1.77% interest on your money. Now here's the question. In order to spin off the earned income we had from last year, $412,000, in passive income, how much money would you need to have invested at 1.8%? You want to know? $23 million. See, $400,000 in passive income is worth $23 million of investment income. Now listen, here's my question. I got a high school GED. I've never been to college. Who is going to pay me $23 million in my lifetime in a job? So here's my question to you. Would it be easier to save $23 million or invest $149 and add some sweat equity? You understand? That's what you build. That's what you can build. Tip of the day. Here's some questions for you. What is advertising? I've heard people say, well, if we start advertising, they're not going to need us anymore. Okay, absolutely. I understand, but let me try to enlighten everybody for just a minute here, okay? Does advertising help us? Does it hurt us? Would the general public hearing our name over and over be better for us or hurt us? Okay, so this is good. You're answering all the right questions. Would more people enroll for our service if they knew about our company or if we kept it a secret? We've been keeping it a secret for 40 years, right? Now watch this. Let's look at one example. Now, I want you to have some fun with me, okay? I'm going to ask you what company this is. Please, please, please do not say the name of the company if you know it. But what I'm going to ask you to do, if you recognize this picture, do me a favor and raise your hands. Keep them up. Keep them up. Now, if you recognize this slogan, raise your hand. Who is it now? Of course it is. The good hands people, right? Now, here's my question. Do they advertise? How often? I don't ever watch any TV, but every time I hear the TV on, I hear the Mayhem commercial. You know? What channels? TVs, billboards, radio, newspapers, magazines? Are there any agents in your town? How many? Lots of them, right? Why do they need the agents if they're advertising? Because what do you know about Allstate? What does the advertising tell you? Yeah, you're in good hands. That's all you know. What's that mean? I don't know. I need to talk to an agent. Let's just say they got the picture. That's not going to sell our product. That is not going to sell Legal Shield. Everybody with me? Who do they need? That's why they're doing it. Listen, they're going to bring the consumers to us. That's what y'all need to understand. That's why you got to get massively aggressive with your business, because they're going to be bringing people to us. We got to get ready for it. See, these are the good hands people with Allstate. Now, let's look at Legal Shield advertising. Would you want us to advertise, yes or no?
Yes.
Do you agree from a name? Do you buy from it more from a name brand or a no name brand? When we have a stronger brand presence, do you think our careers will be easier or harder?
Easier.
Now, these are stupid questions. I realize it, but I'm answering stupid questions because there's never a stupid question, right? Now, when more people buy from us, what does this mean to our income? Gosh, this is so easy. This is why you must be in Dallas for the leadership conference. Because, see, for the first time, we're changing Dallas. This is not an open convention. Now, listen, everybody's invited. Every person in this room is invited to come to Dallas. But you have to qualify for it. We only have one open convention a year, and that's in April, the International Convention. The Dallas Learning and Leadership Conference. This is not the Dallas Leadership Summit. This is the Dallas Learning and Leadership Conference. We had a chance to look at that agenda with Patrick Hodges, our Vice President of Training and Associate Development. And I think the title is wonderful for him, Vice President of Training and Associate Development. That's what the Learning and Leadership Conference is going to be about. It's going to help develop our marketing force into better qualified people to take advantage of what's getting ready to happen. MidOcean realizes we got to become better than we've ever become because of what they're going to do for us. So we got to become better. And that's why this conference is going to be structured to help us become better with all kinds of different training and events. So there's three ways you can qualify to attend this event. Everybody's invited. Three ways to qualify. Between April and August, if you're managers and you Performance Club qualify, 4 out of the 5 months, you'll get an invitation. If you're at any level of our compensation plan and you Power 20 qualify, 4 out of 5 months between April and August, you'll get an invitation. Or if you hit executive director any time during the period of April through August, you'll get an invitation. I would strongly encourage you all, because I've had a chance to look at the snapshot of the agenda, you don't want to miss this event if you're serious about your career. So do what you need to do to get this done, to get this invitation. This is going to be a monumental change and a monumental event in Dallas that will help your businesses grow. Let me show you something. I want you to look at this picture. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma doing an event recently. And Jim Shelby, the RVP, had a dinner Friday night at a restaurant like what Dave had at his barbecue. I like the barbecue better, by the way, because it's outdoors and I'm an outdoors person. But we went to this restaurant. I want to show you the power of branding. They reserved the room for a company called Legal Shield. There's a chalkboard in the room. They had never seen us. They had never heard of us. But the wait staff that was going to wait on us in that room, one of the waiters came in on the chalkboard and drew this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what his perception was of the name Legal Shield. And they even put my initials in the middle of it. Now, look, if somebody who's never even heard of us can talk about the shield of armor protecting people, what do you think Alan Fern is going to do? Folks, this guy is so flippin' brilliant, you can't even imagine. He'll stand up on stage and he'll talk in his British accent and just kind of go, you know, I was thinking, you know, and he talks, listen, this guy is brilliant. This guy is not his first rodeo. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he likes to hear from us, but he knows what he's doing, and I'm telling you, this is going to just knock this thing totally into a different planet of what's going to take place. And if you haven't seen a lot of the snippets, go to LegalShieldVideo.com and take a look at what Alan's working on. Let's talk about Aflac for just a minute. This is kind of funny, okay? 1955 to 2005, nobody ever heard of them. 50 years in business. They introduced a duck and went on TV. Look at them today. And I hear people today, while we have 1.4 million families in our company, well, what's your saturation level? What are you going to do when the market saturates? Well, let's look at Aflac. They've got over 70,000 licensed agents that are building their business. Aflac insures more than 50 million people. Assets at the end of year 2011 totaled $117 billion with annual revenues of $22 billion. Now, you think you might be viewing what's going to take place with Legal Shield? This is what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Well, how many people do you have marketing your service? Who cares? We don't have 70,000 people out there that are marketing our service. And we don't have 50 million people that own it. Imagine what we've already paid people with 1.4. Imagine 50. Y'all starting to get the idea. I want to show you this. This is the coolest thing in the world. I found this online just recently. It's totally objective. This company actually markets consumer interest of direct sales companies. Now look at this trend. When did MidOcean buy us? June 30th. Look at the general public's interest in our company during that transition. July and August, nobody was even interested in hearing about our company. Look what happened in September when we gave the new brand of Legal Shield. Look at what's happening in January as we launched our new plans. Look at what happened in April. Listen, June, the TV starts. Watch this. You get this? This is what's happening that we're not aware of, but this is what the consumers are going, who is this company? What are they about? I'm interested in finding out more. This is what's taking place right underneath it, and we're saying, who do we talk to? Anybody. Are y'all mad at me? Is this helping you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure. May I encourage you strongly to understand what MidOcean did, and this was part of the transition process that I got to see, and I won't go through all these numbers with you, but I see some people still that don't want to use what the company puts out. They want to use their own tools. Look at the first thing that's written in our flip chart. Talk to an attorney without worrying about the high hourly cost. 87% of the people resonate with that statement. So when people say, what do you do? I say, I represent one of the most exciting growth companies in America called Legal Shield. Well, what's Legal Shield do? Well, Legal Shield gives our members the ability to talk to an attorney on any matter without worrying about the high hourly cost. If 87% of the people resonate with that, why in the world would I say anything different? So all I'm trying to say to you is, when you look at the information in the flip chart, this is not something somebody just came up and said, hey, this sounds good, let's put it in there. Okay? This is all research. This is everything they've done. Hired data analysts. Man, they've done everything. Spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in research to give us what we need because it's all designed on what the consumer wants, not what we think is right. And if you understand the consumers who we're after, these are the kind of things that we want to do. Use the company-proof tools is so important. Now do you see the vision of what's going to happen with Legal Shield, yes or no? So let's talk about dreaming for just a minute. I'm going to share some of my dreams with you. Because it's important that you have dreams. You know, Harlan Stonecipher always said that the dreams never dreamed will never come true. Not all dreams dreamed will come true, but dreams never dreamed will never come true. So what are your dreams? What are you trying to achieve with Legal Shield? I'm going to share some of the things that we've done and some of the fun that we've had through Legal Shield because I want you to ask yourself, how will you achieve your dreams? See, my wife, when we first met, we were actually at a convention. I'll show you a picture of us in 1998 at the very end when we first met. I had hair. I was thinner. We were both a little bit younger. She's 18 years younger than I am, which makes us about the same maturity level. And but when we first met, Donnie had her own business, right? And I'll never forget, I met her at a convention in Arlington in 1998, and the person who introduced me to her, I love to hear people's success stories. And I said, Donnie, tell me your story. I almost cried, to be honest with you, when I heard her story. Single mom, kids were 1 and 2, lost her job, got evicted out of her place, was sleeping on the floor of a trailer that belonged to a friend of hers with her kids next to her, 1 and 2, watched her car get repossessed out of the driveway, living on food stamps, and her minister introduced her to Legal Shield. And she used to tell me stories of where she would get in the closet when the kids were taking their naps and put a blanket over her head to make phone calls, to contact people, to set appointments. And one of the first appointments she got was with a human resource manager in a group, and the human resource manager was an attorney by trade. And as soon as she heard about this plan, even back in 1997 when Donnie started, the attorney said, We need this. Bring it on in here. And so she became passionate about the business. And when I heard the story, I was really fighting back tears. And I said, what can I do for you? And she said, you could come to a meeting for me in California. And she lived up in the Bay Area. And I lived in Denver, Colorado, or Southern California. No, where was I? No, Denver, Colorado at the time. And so she said, you can come to a meeting for me. No financial vested interest for me. Didn't make a dime out of it. But in my second year, when I met her, I'd made $224,000. So I said, I'll be happy to come do it for you. So I went out there, we weren't like dating or anything like that. We just met her, right? So we went out and I helped her build her business and helped her generate some income. And we became good friends over the years. And we decided at one point that we wanted to start dating a little bit. So she was living in the Bay Area. I was living in Denver, Colorado. And we started dating for a while. And because she's 18 years younger and her kids were, you know, I'd already gone through that. I was at kind of the empty nesting point. And she had these young children. And I had to really ask myself, and if you've been here, you understand what I'm saying. And I said, can I really go through those teenage years again? You know, can my heart handle it, you know? And so we made a decision that we weren't going to date anymore. So we stopped dating. And about a year later, I just realized I just didn't want to be without her. Kids are great kids, but I just realized I didn't want to be without her. So we decided we were going to spend more time together. So I was living in Denver. She was living in the Bay Area. And she said, I don't want to move to the snow. And I said, I don't want to move to the rain. So we decided on Phoenix, right? So we came to Phoenix. So the first thing she says is, I'd like to get a house in a cul-de-sac so the kids can play and I don't have to worry about it. So I said, okay. So we found this house in a cul-de-sac. And she said, I want it to be on a lake. I said, Donnie, Phoenix, desert, lake? No. She found it. Okay. And she said, okay. She says, here it is. So she finds her house, right? And she says, I want to get into a nice home where we all have good things. So it's 5-bedroom, 4-bath, you know, nice home. And she said, when people walk in, I want to have a nice, inviting, open walkway. So this is with the entrance into our house. And she said, I want a big kitchen. So she got her kitchen, right? And when we first bought it, you know, the house appraised at $1.2 million. I bought it for $775,000. So I thought I walked in with $500,000 equity until the market changed. Then I realized I didn't have that anymore. But that's okay. But she said, it had white appliances in it. And she said, I want stainless steel. And I said, well, I think it looks fine with white. And that's when she reminded me that I wasn't an interior designer, right? So she goes gets her stainless steel stuff. And then she says, I want a nice home office. Ladies and gentlemen, her home office right there is bigger than the house she was living in California when she moved. That's just her home office area, right? She says, I want a big living room where we can invite people over. I want a big pool. And she, and listen, for all those people, I hear people say it all the time. It's so funny. Honey, you stay in Arizona in the summertime. Do you see this right here? That's a body. That is my man cave. And there is no heat in there. When you swim under the waterfall and go into the man cave, there is no heat. So when y'all are worried about me sweating and being all that heat, I'm not in it. Don't worry about me. I'll be okay. I promise. This is our hot tub, and there's a waterfall coming off the hot tub as well. And we like to party in the backyard. You know, we like to have a lot of fun out there, and we do a lot of stuff. We got married in the backyard, as a matter of fact. God was present. He was right there. Right? We got married in the backyard, and we borrowed this from one of our neighbors because everybody gets married in the backyard in this area. And Amanda, Donnie's daughter, did all the flowers and stuff around. It was kind of fun. This is our view in the evening as the sun's setting from our backyard. This is the view in the morning from our deck where we're having coffee. So we're not dying in the sun as so many people worry about us doing, right? We like cars. I'm not a big car fan, but I like having nice vehicles. We pay cash for them. We don't owe a dime on anything except our mortgage. Our mortgage is at 3.04% interest. I'm getting more than that on my returns. I'd pay cash and write the house off if I lost the interest on my money. But it doesn't make sense for me to pay off a 3.04% interest loan, okay? But we pay cash for everything. We don't owe anybody, and there's freedom in that, okay? This is what happens when you move from the left side of the cash flow quadrant to the right side and become a big business owner and become debt-free, where you can become an investor, and then you no longer have debt. And it's a great place to be just not to have debt. This is a little get-together. This is Dave Savola in the backyard talking to some of the team. This is Dave at night. This is my cousin, the late and great Wilburn Smith, when he used to pick me up in his Learjet and fly me around from time to time at events. I kept telling him every time he'd call me, he'd say, hey, cuz. I didn't end up in his will. So I need to have a conversation with him about that. So I'm saving that for him when I get up there, okay? Some of the times that you build, this is what I mean about, listen, I didn't know Michael Dorsey all of my years. I was 44 years old when I met Michael. Didn't know him. Today, we've become best of friends. I mean, this is a guy that recruited me in the business. And to surround yourself with people that just bring so much value to your life. You know, Darnell Self, another guy that's just done tremendous things. This is us at the Black and Gold Banquet. Krista Offenberg, right? $250,000 ringer, millionaire club member. This is a group of us on our team that are giving Dave Savola a nice plaque, Dave and Bear, for the leadership that they provide. This is when we take our kids when they were smaller to the snow park. And we, yes, this is Arizona too, just so you'll know. It's not all hot. 2 hours away is Flagstaff. We snow ski in Flagstaff, okay? So when you notice there's not a big crowd of people around there, it's because we take our kids to the snow park during the week when all the other kids are in school. Why? Because we can. Because we're business owners. We don't get into the crowds, right? This is Jeanette McCurdy from iCarly. We introduced her to Matthew and Amanda when they were smaller. This is Amanda here when she was singing at the choir, at school, all of her church stuff and her school stuff. And every time I'd go to every event, all the moms would say, "You're the only father that's at every event. Why are you always here?" I said, "Well, I'm self-employed." They said, "What do you do?" I said, "I work with one of the most exciting growth companies in America called Legal Shield." Y'all know the rest of the story. That's why I recruit people, okay? Look at her today. See, I got to watch this. This is the difference. When my kids were growing up, I was busy working, providing in jobs, working for income, stressed out. Working for income, no time, no freedom. I missed a lot of my kids' events because I was traveling on my job, stressed out, not being able to make every single event. I've been able to participate in Donnie's kids' lives because I get to do what I want when I want. And I've been able to watch her grow up from that young lady to this young lady. Matthew, her son, said, "Man, I want to be a guitar hero," right? He became one. There's always a delayed laugh when people see Department of Corrections. See, my son, when he was little and he was playing soccer and stuff, I got to see some of that. But just like what happened from 72 to 2012, he grew up. And I missed a lot of that because I was busy working. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When how we let things happen that we miss that are important that we can't ever go back and get because of working for income. Listen, I want you to do me a favor. Everybody just close your eyes for 1 second. Just close your eyes for 1 second. I'm going to ask you to think about something for just a minute. If you think money's not important, and I don't mean money's everything, because being broke isn't all it's cracked up to be either, right? But I want you to think about this. Look back at your life, and I want you to think about every minute of your life that you've thought about bills and financial stress, and ask yourself, if you could get all that time back, what would you have today? Open your eyes. Would you have more freedom? Don't tell me money's not important. Don't tell me helping people isn't important. Money doesn't mean material stuff. You can have whatever you want. But when you don't worry about money and you're spending money helping other people, it's a different way of life. My daughter was just this little child, and she grew up. All of a sudden, what happened? How did that happen so fast, right? These are my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter. And for all of you younger guys in here that are single, you need to be real aware that I don't have any problem going back to prison. This picture ended up on what's that internet thing they have called? No, not you. Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. As you can tell, I'm not one of those guys. But this picture ended up there, and somebody said, "What are you doing taking a picture in your closet?" I said, "First of all, if you knew my closet, that's not my closet. But look at my wife's face. She's shopping in Cancun." Ladies are always happy when they're shopping, right? One night we were watching TV, which I don't watch much TV at all, but it was a late night, and we were in bed, and we were watching the Travel Channel. And this thing called Maui, Hawaii came on, and she was going, "Wow, ooh, ah, I've never been to Maui. I'd like to go to Maui sometime." And she fell asleep, and I got mad, so I got up. And so when that happened, I decided to go over to the computer and see if I could find some tickets to Maui, right? So I did. And I said, "I want to go take her to Maui." So the next morning, when she woke up, I brought her coffee upstairs like a good husband's supposed to do. Came up, sat down at her bedside table. I said, "Honey, your wish is my command." She said, "What are you talking about?" She said, I said, you said you wanted to go to Maui. We're going to Maui. She said, what are you talking about? I said, last night when you fell asleep, I got up and went and got us tickets. She said, you're crazy. I said, I'm serious. She said, okay, when are we going? I said, in 3 weeks. She said, how long are we staying? I said, 8 days. She said, where are we staying? I said, I'm not sure. But we're going. I got airplane tickets, right? So we stayed at the Kanapali Ocean Resort Villas, which is about 2 blocks up from the Hyatt Regency where we're going to stay in Maui. And I want to share with you some of the pictures that you're going to see, some of the views you will see from Maui when you're up there for the first time. Because we got up there and we went up to the beach, and she was all happy that she was in Maui. That was her picture. When I, no matter how I say this, it never comes out right. So she got two of those things that day. I promise I have tried every way in the world to say about these lays. I said she got laid twice that day. She got two lays that day. No matter how I do it, I just say, listen, she just got two of those things that day, right? This is standing on the balcony of the patio of our condo, and right here is the ocean. This is Lanai in the background, which you'll see from Hyatt Regency in Maui. This is our Baywatch shot. These are some of the views that you'll see while you're there. Incredible views, folks. You just wonder what heaven looks like. Then my oldest daughter said, Dad, you always do nice things for us. She said, so here's what I want to do. I want to take you on vacation. Now, she knows I love to golf. And by the way, Dave would have gotten his butt whipped yesterday. Trust me. Curtis Carlson said, from Televox, he rode with me. And after the front nine, he was 5 strokes up on me. And I looked at him, I said, Curtis, you obviously don't understand customer golf. I said, you never let the customer lose. And he says, you know how competitive I am. And I said, I know. So I beat him by 1 stroke. I shot a 39 on the backside. And got him by 6 strokes on the back, so I won by 1. So you'd have gotten beat, Dave. So she says, I want to take you to play golf. So she takes me to Vista Mayor, the Tournament of Champions course, and I got to play one of the most beautiful courses I've ever seen, man. It was so much fun. And because she treated me so good, I said, Dawn, I'll take care of you too. So I fixed her up with Mario, right? People say, how'd you do that? I said, I got friends in low places. My grandson, I love my grandkids. Matter of fact, my tie is my 7 kids and 6 grandkids, so they gave this to me for Father's Day, so I'm so proudly wearing it because it's got a mixture of all their names. My daughter has a photography studio in Paris, Texas. She gets real creative. But my grandson, he loves calling me and says, hey, Grandpa, what are you doing? I want to see you. Now, listen, don't tell me money's not important. He says, I want to see you. And I said, when? He said, right now. I didn't have to call a boss and say, can I get time off? I didn't have to check my bank account to see if I could afford it. I got on a plane and went to San Antonio to see him. Because I could. Because of freedom. Time. Uh-huh. My grandbabies. This is Kylie and Keeley. Now, I want you to look at Keeley. I want you to see how much she loves her grandpa. Look at the smile on her face. And listen, Donnie, she won't let the grandkids call her grandma because she's just too young. She just can't handle that name. So she said, you all call me G-Maw, right? G-Maw. So you can see what happens when the kids see her, right? There's Keita going, G-Maw, right? Well, I thought that was really cute until the other day. Because Donnie takes him to Build-A-Bear and all these different places in the malls, you know. And when Kylie sends her a note, just a thank you note, it says G-Mall. Not G-Mall, M-A-L-L. And I said, ha, ha, ha. See, you thought you were G-Mall, and because you take them to the mall every time you see them, you're G-Mall. See, here they're cute and cuddly, and they turn sweet and sassy. Grandkids, man, you spoil them rotten, you give them back, and you pay your kids back for what they did to you. Greatest thing in the world, man. We were fishing on the back, and because we fished right off the backyard, and when this happened, I said, look at that bass you caught, you know, and somebody, my son or Matthew or Donnie or somebody took the picture and posted on Facebook and said, look at the big bass that they caught out of the lake. And one of my 6-figure ringers in Oklahoma said, guppy. I said, no, man, it was a bass. They said, no, it's bait. Isn't that beautiful? I'm talking about her, not the view. Listen, if you're over 50, do not get in one of these. The rubber in the bottom is about that thick, right? And when you're doing... You've been on one, haven't you? And when you're like that, it's okay. But when you're like this, it's a whole different vision. I had parts of my body rotating that I didn't even know existed. Dave Stavola said, you got to come to Polly's Island, hang out with me and Bev at the beach house, right? And so, have y'all ever heard Dave's story about Officer Crum? Okay. We got to meet him. We pulled into Polly's Island, and we got pulled over. And as I was looking out the outside rearview mirror, I saw a name badge, and it said Officer Crum. And I told Donnie, I said, watch this. So he comes up and says, good afternoon, sir. See your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance? And I said, sure. And I said, you're Officer Crum, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you're not from here, are you? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I'm out here seeing my best friend, Dave Stavola. He said, you can go ahead. Now, I have to tell you, that's not a true story, but I thought it was a great joke. But we did go to Polly's Island, right? And so we went out to see Bev and Dave, and we're just having a nice glass of wine after we first got there. This is their beach house. And the crow's nest up here, you ought to see the view from up here on top. Unbelievable, man. This is Nick Serban, Gail, and me and Donnie hanging out at their mountain house. Beautiful views. This is all of us hanging out at Christmas time out in the mountains. Just enjoying time, not worried about money, not worried about time, enjoying life. Freedom, folks. Going to places that I've never been in my whole life till I got to Legal Shield because of the freedom of life that we have. Love golf. Love golf. And would invite Dave to come anytime to play. Seeing things that are memorabilia that just is, you know, brings me back. I started playing golf when I was 7 years old. I played my sophomore year in high school with Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite in Austin, Texas. So this seeing this bag was kind of like, wow, that's really cool, you know. Of course, they went on to play golf, and I went on to pretend like I played golf. But I have fun. This is me and Donnie when we first met. And we both got older, but she doesn't look like she got any older. Here's my point as I share this. This is back in 1998 at the convention where he met. This is Brenda Anderson, Millionaire Club member, $100,000 ringer, Kyle Cambrell. I showed this last weekend when I was doing this event in Albuquerque, and Kyle went, oh, my God. I said, yeah, you were good looking back then, Kyle. Mike Melia, don't even recognize him, do you? Isn't that fun? This is the person, Lisa Hatch, that I recruited in a restaurant in Phoenix that I haven't seen in probably 6 years that led me to Brenda, who's a Millionaire Club member. It's not about the people you know. It's getting the information in the hands of people you do know so they can help you get the information in the hands of the people you don't know. Right? This is our crew. So in closing, I'm a half an hour early today. In closing, I want to share my story with you because if you're like me when I first started, I said, I could never do this. My goal when I started was this. I'd come out of a job of $102,000 a year base salary. I was so stressed out. When I lost my job, I realized they stopped paying you. Wasn't a very fun time in my life at 44 years old. But here's what I said. If I can work and build a business of my own and make $50,000 a year, $1,000 a week, working for myself with no boss and no commute, then I'm good to go. That's really where my thoughts were. That's where my goals were. I didn't ever dream of making more than that in a month. I said, if I can just make $50,000 a year, my life will change. So you might be saying, man, you might be dreaming and saying, I really can have this, or can I? Because so many of us let what happens in our life get in the way of where we want to go in our life. So I'm sharing this with you. I'm real good about all this. I'm totally cool about all this, trust me. But I want you to understand, all of us have things in life that happen that can sometimes keep us from getting the things we want. And it's not that they really keep us, it's that we allow them to keep us from getting what we want. So here's my story. My original name was Davis. It wasn't Smith. I was adopted at the age of 3. I've never met my father. Wouldn't know him if he walked in the room today. My stepfather, Smith, adopted us when we were 3. And one night when I was 8 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard a bunch of roughhousing in the house. And I ran in the kitchen, And my stepfather, Smith, had my mother on the floor by the hair with a gun cocked at her temple. And I'm screaming, "Don't kill her, don't kill her." I'm 8 years old. Totally okay with all this. When I turned 13, because he was shooting up the house with guns, my grandmother put me and my older brother in military school. I'm the short guy on the right here. And my wife found, Donnie found this article, because I kept all this stuff tied away. But Donnie found this article, and she said, "You've got to show this to people." When I was 13 years old, look what they put in the paper. Hoping to become millionaires. Larry Smith and John Blalock show off the shoes, money they've earned, shining shoes. Even when I was 13, I was an entrepreneur. I wanted to make more money, you know, just where I could have the things I wanted to have in life. But even back then, I was hoping to become a millionaire, so to speak, right? But I moved away from home at the age of 16 because my mother had five fathers. I had five fathers growing up. So my mother, on her fourth husband, got drunk, threw me through a sheetrock wall, and I moved out of the house. And so I started flipping hamburgers at a place called Lawrence Julius, trying to go to school. Couldn't stay in school because working 6 to midnight every night, trying to pay the rent for the apartment stuff. Couldn't really work and go to school, too, so I quit school at the age of 17. I went into school one day, and I think our school teachers have probably the most difficult job in the world today. I think they're the most underpaid profession in our whole society because I think they've got such a huge task on their shoulders. But there was something about my education that, I don't know if it's because I'm ADD or what it was, but something happened because I looked at this. I walked into the biology class one day, and the teacher said, "Class, today we're going to dissect frogs." And I'll never forget opening that big gallon jar and getting the tongs and pulling out that big old frog and pinning him on that board and all that formaldehyde smell. And as I was cutting into the frog, I'm going, "I'm not going to be a surgeon, and I'm not getting in the frog business. What am I learning from this?" I just didn't understand, right? I just didn't understand. So then I went up the stairs to English class, and the teacher said, "Class, today we're going to read Silas Marner." I didn't know the dude. I was never going to be roommates with him. So why did I care? I mean, I just did not. It wasn't that it was good or bad. I just didn't understand. So I got frustrated and walked out because I couldn't keep working and going to school. So I quit school at the age of 17. I joined the military at age 18. I went from basic AIT jump school, ranger training, two tours in Vietnam, came home. I spent I turned 19 and 20 in Vietnam on my two tours, and I got awarded the Bronze Star Medal when I was over there. And I came back, and I realized that something interesting happened. I was 28 years old, and y'all have seen America's Most Wanted, right? John Walsh, y'all see this on TV, right? Well, his son Adam was decapitated. And that's how America's Most Wanted all got started, because John wanted to go with all the bad guys. Well, the same two people, Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Tooley, that were serial killers, killed 361 people. The same people that killed his son murdered my mother, shot her once in the head, went right through the back of her head, because she died instantly. My stepfather was shot 3 times, and he died on the operating table an hour and a half later. And for the next 5 years, the kids and the family were investigated for the murder. They were investigating us. So I've seen the other side of the legal system. Obviously, we're innocent. And 5 years later, when they caught him after he'd killed his 15-year-old common law wife, on the way back, he saw the place where he murdered my parents, and he turned around and said, "I was the one that murdered the people that owned that business right there." And that's how we found out about it. And I still didn't know. One day I get a call, and they said, "Tonight on 2020, your mother's story is going to be there." And I watched Henry Lee Lucas from prison tell the story about how he murdered my mother. And I watched this all, you know. And, you know, you sit here and you think, you know, part of you wants to go, "I'm going to kill that guy," you know. Another part of it goes, "What happened to him?" See, when I started really, really starting learning about him, his mother was a prostitute. At the age of 5, she was made him watch her having sex with other men. Who knows how messed up this kid was? Are y'all getting this? But yet we let this kind of stuff hold us back, if we let it hold us back. Reality of it was, I got downsized over the years. I've been unemployed, where bills came and there was no cash to pay for it. I filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy in 1989. I'm not proud of any of that. But life deals what it is. I believe God gives us the ability to go through anything. So all we have to do is go through it, right? And learn from it. So I've learned some things from that. But here's my point. Most people today, and I would expect Utah to be maybe that exception, because Utah is just a fun place to be. But I would expect most people in this room have baggage in your background. You've had issues that you've gone through. And whatever they are, they're just as serious to you as this was to me at the time. Okay? But are they keeping you from achieving what you really want to achieve in your life? Are you letting that control what your future is? See, here's what I know about every bit of that. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't change the past. But what I also realize is I can change the future. And so no matter what your past is, we can be successful because we have the ability to change our future. See, I wrote... Thank you. The cost of entry to Legal Shield when I joined was $49. I didn't have $49. I wrote a hot check. And we were getting paid every day by direct deposit. We got paid twice a week by check. And so in the envelope, because we didn't have internet or websites or anything back then, we had to mail everything snail mail. And in the envelope that had my associate degree, because I became a member when I was corporately employed, but I became an associate after I attended today's meeting. And in that same envelope, I had my first associate agreement because I filled out the form where I said I'll mail it because I didn't want to write a hot check. But then when I went back to California and I recruited my first associate member, I stuck his paperwork in the envelope with mine. And so then I sent it in the same envelope. We got paid twice a week by check. My first commission check was $62.50. And that commission, I ran it to the bank, and that commission check kept my $49 hot check from bouncing. True story, okay? And I told Mr. Stonesifer, man, I sure am glad that you pay faster than you collect, you know? Can't do that anymore electronically, right? This month, almost $65,000 in 1 month. Crazy what can happen. So, here's my question, see? 1965, hoping to become a millionaire while I was in school. 31 years later, wrote a hot check, still hoping. 2001... became an inaugural millionaire club member of Legal Shield. As Mr. Stonesifer says, not all dreams come true, but dreams never dreamed will never come true. My question to you is, why not you? Why not you? See, it's written along the way, you're going to trip and stumble. It's not going to be all smooth sailing. You're going to have your good times and your not so good times. Here's what you need to be aware of. It's written, for though a righteous man falls 7 times, he shall rise again. When you trip and fall and somebody beats you down, get back up. Just get back up because you can achieve anything you want. Dream your dreams and live your dreams. In Salt Lake, join us in our dreams as we take Legal Shield across North America. I want to thank you all so much for allowing me to be here with you this weekend. God bless you all. Thanks for the leadership in the state of Northern Salt Lake.
That often we, you know, have someone, again, appoint. I did. I turned it over. Testing, 1, 2, 3. All right. I turned it on.
You want to use that one?
All right.
We'll use this one for the time being. We have someone, again, from the corporate executive?
Executive Advisory Board.
Advisory Board.
EAB, like the MIB.
I'll let you play with this and try to figure it out there. There's only a few people on that advisory board, and so to have someone like that here, just absolutely priceless. And I don't know about you guys, but man, I'm sitting here, I look around, and I take a mental note of the people on my team that needed to hear this information, to see the vision of where this company's going. The people that need to know what the next 5 years is going to look like, and it just kills me inside to see that some of them aren't here and just go, oh, this is the puzzle piece that so-and-so needed. Oh, man, if they would have been here, where would the next 6 months, a year look like and stuff like that? And I just, you know, I don't know, you know, when we'll get Mr. Smith back. We'll definitely get him back because he's got a large team here. He's got a big financial reason to be here. So he's one of the easier guests to convince to come to this marketplace. But we've had a few people pass around a card to sign for him with some comments in there. And, you know, it's hard to think, you know, what do you get a man that, you know, made $60,000 in 1 month and stuff like that? We were planning, my intention yesterday was to pick him up a nice golf shirt from the clubhouse yesterday and then sign it with my score and his score so he could remember who won.
Which is exactly why he didn't show up.
It's never going to end. He hasn't seen how good I cheat on the golf course.
No, but I've seen you play.
That's why I need to cheat. But we played golf a few different times, and it's always a blast to go out and hang out with people like this in spite of everything else going on out there, business, money, everything else. It's good to just have good friends out there that you can go do fun things with. And so we've got a nice card in here for you, but we've also put a gift card in here so that I know you're a big fan of personal development and reading. So we've got a gift card in here that you can go buy, you know, the book of your choice or some books for your grandkids or some other things.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you all. Hang on, I'll give you mine.
There we go.
It's in my back pocket.
Solve that problem.
All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to bring up the state leadership here to help do some of the recognition before we announce who's coming next month and some of the other things going on. So real quickly, if we could get the regional managers to come.